Blog Talk Radio.
You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dream, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
Your elders grew by, and so please help them with your youth. They seek the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by, and them on your dream, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Diamonds on the soles of the 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 got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She's physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You've taken me for granted because I believe you. Wearing these diamonds." And I can say, ooh, as if everybody knows what I'm talking about, as if anybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about diamonds on the soles of the shoes. For his ordinary shoes. She said, honey, take me dancing, but they ended up by sleeping in a doorway by the bodegas and the lights on over Broadway, wearing diamonds on the soles of their shoes. And I could say, everybody, you would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about
good evening, everyone, and welcome to Revolution Radio Saturday Night Special. Welcome to all of you who will be listening sometime tomorrow, as I know it's kind of late, but it's my late Saturday Night Special, and I hope you do have your Saturday Night Special just sitting handily there as it's kind of late at night. Welcome, and I'd like to immediately call for all prayers and wishes and strength to Reverend Manning and the Obama-Columbia CIA trial that's going on. Many of you have probably seen the video of the drunk woman outside the church confronting people about this, and it's just absolutely crazy. So I wanted to give you a little report on that tonight to share with you some interesting information I found on a new blog site that I've found, to share with you again the call that I'm putting out, that I'm gonna post on my blog called Stop Me Cold and Stop Them Cold, and The Revolt Begins. It's a offer and invite to join a private, confidential online meeting room to discuss some very serious actions to bring our country back. So talk a little bit about that tonight. But first I'm going to read a story from, you know, a newspaper you probably read every day called the birtherreport.com. But it's reporting on the, via conservative monster, reporting on the Columbia Day trial, Columbia trial day one. The trial events consisted of introducing Judge Unger and the jury selection. People attended this trial from all over the world. The attendees came from as far as Germany, Hawaii, California, Toronto, Texas, Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida, just to name a few. One of the attendees was a former mayor of New Mexico as well. The media consisted of a reporter from Salon.com, Steve Langford, from Howard Stern News, and myself. There are other freelance reporters there as well. I met a few friends from the conservative monster as well, and it was great to know that they supported myself and Pastor Manning at a time when we needed them the most. Pastor Manning put tons of time, effort, and sweat into this trial, and this is going to be a very interesting week. I assembled in front of the Columbia University and proceeded to march around it in protest of their alleged assistance in the eligibility cover-up. We walked to the church, went through a metal detector, and all bags were checked. Security was very tight. Pastor Manning's staff prepared an amazing lunch. Then there was jury selection. The indictment was handed down via a grand jury, and the subpoenas were refused by Columbia University and the Obama administration, according to the testimony. The indictment alleges the following. Columbia University and Obama conspired to defraud and commit wire fraud and mail fraud. 2. Columbia University knowingly concealed the fact that Obama is not a natural-born citizen. 3. Columbia University aided in obstructing justice. 4. Obama fraudulently obtained the office of the POTUS, gaining access to sensitive materials posing a danger to national security. 5. The prosecution dropped the charges of treason and espionage to avoid complications with a death sentence. That is a charge that came out. And that's right. Treason is punishable by death. Here are some quotes by Pastor Manning. Obama is a criminal, and we will prove that this in this courtroom. Howard Dean, Hillary Clinton, and John McCain helped Obama win the election. Manning stated that a witness will testify that John McCain, quote, took a dive, quote, in the 2008 election. 3. The courts have failed, and they are complicit along with the media to cover up Obama's alleged ineligibility. 4. Obama quoted a speech that he made at a Tea Party in June-July 2009, where he stated, quote, we need to pursue Obama on his ineligibility, non-natural-born status, rather than his policies, because health care will pass no matter how much you try to protest it. Is true. 5. God told me that, quote, our shoes are our weapons, unquote, meaning that we need to march and protest to show them that we will not be silenced. There was some tension outside with some of the Harlem residents that were Obama fans, and they made it known that they were not too pleased about the birthers being in their neighborhood. I was already inside when this incident took place. This dirtbag, which is a video that I will post, was cursing and screaming in public. She was the perfect example of an Obama supporter, useful idiot, illiterate and nasty, and she looked drunk to me. But basically, she's saying that, you know, we're all mad because he's black. And if you hang on just a second, I'm just going to get this YouTube and get the link and just post it for you. So, you know, that's old hat. That's totally old hat. And it's all they've got now. And There we go. Here we go. Here's the link. Put it in the chat room. Hi, everyone in there. Great. I'm glad you're having a good talk in there. Anyway, let me go back to this article. So there's the YouTube there, and then there's the invitation to the CIA Columbia trial. I want to point out just a couple of things here. Reverend Manning has taken a step that our founders envisioned that we would take under the Seventh Amendment of the United States Constitution. And it is no wonder that you never get told your Seventh Amendment rights to have a jury, trial by jury of your peers, and a common law jury. And we all know what has happened to the eligibility cases. You know, the conspiracy is pretty deep here because they're all throwing everything out on ridiculous claims of standing, clearly constitutional issues that they're required, Article 3 required to take. Massive amounts of information still coming out at Obama, and we can't get through this justice system. Listen to Amendment 7. In suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Reverend Manning identified grand jury, took that common law grand jury, and when the indictments and when the information is presented and the arrest warrants are headed out there, no court in the United States can look at that. No court of the federal government, that means the federal courts as well. So those warrants are issued, and then where do you go from there? This is really what our Constitution envisions. Red Beckman likes to say that Amendment 7 is really an example of the founders' intent, which I agree. And I think the Constitution is there to control the government. I think the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, are the people's enforcement mechanism of the Constitution. And Amendment 7 does embody the fact that we, the people, get to look at these issues and judge the law and judge the facts of the case. And when we make a decision on something like that, it cannot be reviewed or appealed or counter-appealed or denied and then, you know, reversed and so forth and so on. Look at that game. When you look at Amendment 7 and then you look at the way the legal system plays out with appeals and, like I said, going back and forth and up and down and to different courts and so forth and so on, who's making the money on this system? Taking the power right out of our hands. So, okay, so I commend Reverend Manning. I know Red Beckman does. I know many, many people do. And I really am praying for him and support him tremendously. We had him on our show about 3 weeks ago. It was an excellent podcast. Please go and listen to it. He was very articulate, as always, and discussed a number of issues that are not necessarily exactly out there, so meaning public. So the other thing that he's doing, of course, is marching around Columbia, and he's marching around 7 times. And we all know that Jericho fell not because of the trumpets or horns or the 7 times that they were played or the 7 days, but because of the people's faith. Really, those walls fell. But it is remarkable to be doing that, both symbolically and on another level. And this is another aspect of Reverend Manning that I really admire. His paradigm for planning this is different. You know, it's on a spiritual level. It's connected with God. It is very much in American interests. You know, it is also directed at evil. We've all said it. There it is, satanic. There's satanic influence going on there. Now, I don't know if it's based on moving the Capitol to somewhere else in the United States. get it out of that swamp. But in any case, this is a big deal for all of us, and we need to pay attention to it. And, you know, everyone is going to deny it. Salon will probably, the reporter at Salon will probably make fun of it. But this is extremely important. As you can see, the information is coming up, and there are people who are, you know, hard-pressed to deal with it. Anderson Cooper's, like, stupidity in interviewing a respected military officer, Colonel Lakin, Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, just unspeakable, ridiculous stupidity. And the only thing that this does is just convince everybody even more and more how much in the tank the media is. They will not, for Obama, they will not deal with this issue. So the other thing that I'd like to point you to is to the excellent work that continues to be done by Attorney Mario Puzo and Charles Kirshner. As you know, I'm sorry, I sometimes get distracted here, but I'm copying a link and we'll put it in the chat right now. Which is another story from Obama Release Your Records. But it's really responding to, this is the Nordyke information, Eleanor Nordyke. She makes some outlandish statements. She was the lady who had twins around the same time as Obama. And there's an issue with the numbers and where Obama's numbers are. There's increasing evidence that Obama was born earlier than August 1961. And from evidence of photos of his supposed mother, you know, on the beach in August looking fabulous, and also in school in Seattle just a few weeks after that. So we don't know what is going on, who his parents are. The governor of Hawaii I did a post called Rope-a-Dope, because what a dope, coming out and supporting him and doing the outrageous thing of saying he's a natural-born citizen, and, you know, he's seen his birth certificate, and the president was born here. Okay, let's give him that. So what's the problem? The problem is he's so stupid never to change his name. I can't imagine he would be embarrassed. He would be embarrassed about nobody knows who his father was, but so what? There are a lot of people who don't know that. But, you know, I guess he was just brainwashed into, you know, or just took it on to just go with himself. But, you know, I just can't believe he's that stupid to never have legally changed his name. But even if that was the only issue, he's lied his whole life, and he's a fraud, and he's beyond the point where people are going to forgive him and give him a pass. He's supposedly a Harvard-trained lawyer. Yeah, right. I don't think so. To me, you know, the way he speaks seems like he's a foreigner to me. I've been in a lot of places where there are, you know, very well-trained foreigners who speak English, and that's what he speaks like when he's off the teleprompter. Remember Corpse? How could anyone do that with the core? My goodness. So, okay, I'm going to take a little break here, find a couple of other stories that I'd like to read to you tonight, kind of an astounding one that once again focuses on the problems with having an ineligible president. I mean, really, there's nothing that exists in our country right now. There's no law that's valid. Everybody has a quo warranto claim against Obama. None of the treaties are valid. Secretary of State Clinton cannot ban guns. I mean, they're going that way. Illegitimate, all of them. So, you know, they probably all know it. I'm sure they do, and they are all going down. And so they're all trying to hang together here, and, you know, let's give them that opportunity. Once we pull the right string, it all falls down. We have to keep going on many levels, not just one. You know, we have to inflict the death of 1,000 cuts to stop this thing. I'll be right back.
Come on, my baby. Yeah.
Ah, respect. There's something we don't get enough of these days. And something Obama has given us nothing of is respect, and nothing of this country, and it's outrageous. I have always maintained that his lack of eligibility leaves him absolutely open to bribery and to manipulation. And I think that something just happened. Actually, there's been a big earthquake in Puerto Rico, downgraded to a 5.8, apparently. But I picked up this article on big government. I'm getting some Yahoo messages here. 5.8, and there was another earthquake in Puerto Rico. You know, there's a heart facility down that way. And Haiti, other kinds of earth movements, what the heck is going on? HARP is supposedly an atmospheric thing. But it has been known to change substantively and possibly cause a number of things. There's also another heart facility down in the Indonesia area operated by the French and the United States, also one in Alaska. And also I do believe there might be one up towards Iceland, but I'm not quite sure. This is a serious issue. Anyway, my apologies. But Obama's certainly not going to control that. He probably doesn't even know what it is. He probably thinks it's a musical instrument. But Obama's subject to bribery, manipulation, blackmail is very clear. And here's an article that came out of Free Range International. And it's all together, freerangeinternational.com. And a story that was on big government, that the Pakistani government actually has captured Mullah Omar, the chief guy of the Taliban. And let me read this to you and ask you, what do you think's going on? Which brings me to my final topic. The author is Baba Tim, and it's not something Americans should be happy about. I have been hearing for weeks rumors about the detention of this guy, and it's a picture of Mullah Omar, who either has a patch over his eye sometimes or basically is, I think, blind in one eye. I have heard about this from both prominent Afghans and from a source in the U.S. government who has impeccable credentials and has never been wrong in the past. The media story is here. And that story is that the Pakistan ISI intelligence services has Mullah Omar under house arrest, that our government knows this, but for some reason wants to keep it a secret. I need to stress that not everyone I have contacted about this story has heard these rumors, and a few important, well-informed military bloggers flat out did not believe them. Regardless, the story has legs, and if it's true, there is a huge, huge problem. That problem is very simple. There should be no doubt what happens when an allied intelligence service gets their hands on Mullah Omar. There is nothing to discuss, nothing to think about, nothing to spin. There is only this. Give him immediately to us. Immediately. End of negotiation. There should be no question on the part of the U.S. government about what to do with this dirtbag either. He is an unlawful enemy combatant and needs to be detained and held for trial by military tribunal. There is no other conceivable option. If this story proves true, and I think it is, this isn't a game, damn it. It's a war. It needs to be treated as such. Now, I want to raise here what you think's going on. First of all, as you know, Obama has increased the drone bombing in Pakistan, outside of Afghanistan. And apparently a couple of times Osama bin Laden has actually witnessed those bombings. You know, he's probably in a tent outside these villages that is, you know, absolutely screened for infrared so nobody can see him. But it's resulted in indiscriminate killing of civilians. families, so forth. The targeting is not good. And on the other hand, maybe it's intentional. So are the Pakistanis holding this guy as a way of saying, you know, Obama, you back off on your drone attacks in Pakistan? Or are they holding out for something else? More military assistance or more, or what else? Or do they know about Obama? Yeah, he went to Pakistan. They probably all know about him. And are they basically just bribing the guy? You know, threatening to spill the beans unless he does this or that. So, you know, Obama's in a rock and a hard place. The people who are really suffering are the Afghani and the, you know, and the Pakistani civilians who are caught in the middle between people who are just interested in fighting each other. I think that's a very, very serious example of bribery. There are other examples. Remember the Interpol executive order, how that was very quickly and quietly passed. Did Obama work out some immunity for himself so that Interpol could come into the United States and look at people? I think they're after the big financial stuff, because the financial meltdown was a theft. Somebody stole a bunch of money from a few other people, in fact, a lot of other people. And the Europeans and everybody else, this is why Interpol's involved. But then there is the International Criminal Court, and there's various other treaties and so forth that, you know, Obama has signed that are giving away our sovereignty. And you think, what in the world is going on? No president can do this or should do this. And is forbidden. It is treason. And he's not eligible. How serious this is. I mean, it's just unimaginable to me that he could be doing this. Well, I guess I shouldn't be that surprised. But I thought this was a very interesting article from Big Government. For us to take a look at. So, what other bribery can you think about? Anything on healthcare passage? Anything on land use management? I think that part of the New World Order issue and part of our debt is putting up collateral. What is the collateral you have that you have to put up when you run out of money to pay for something is your land base? So, I don't know, keep your eyes out. Are you seeing a lot of, you know, foreigners buying land and property and so forth? I've had a lot of readers on my blog travel on airplanes with people who are, you know, Arabs who are looking at large swaths of national parks. So are we all going to end up being owned by those folks? I think probably we are. So, again, the ineligibility, and this is what causes me to say we need to stop them cold, because they're not expecting a response, and why we need to have a confidential conversation about this, because they're listening. They're, you know, somebody's assigned to listen to this show, I'm sure, but, you know, I'm small potatoes. Same with Dr. Case View, my blog. It's a small blog. But somebody's listening, you know. I probably don't get too many dollars per hour to try me, who's just fine. But we also need to do something very serious. Like, think about in Thailand, they just add basically the people occupied that shut down the financial district. There have been times in the United States when truckers have absolutely blocked all entry into major cities. There are ways that we need to probably start positioning ourselves in order to be in places at the right time. There might be different folks that we actually start putting pressure on, like the military. I'm not sure. But how do we do that? So the software tool that I'm using and inviting allows, at least for the next month, 50 people to show up, we can have as many people as many meetings as we want. In a month, it'll drop down to 25, but the idea is to do some strategic planning, to interact privately and confidentially with each other, and to come up with pretty big plans, civic actions, to make a difference. Because, you know, if you want liberty, you have to show up. If you want it back, you have to show up. We have not watered that tree of liberty. We have been asleep. I mean, our whole lives, we've been living our lives. I mean, who can blame us? But while we've been doing that, my whole life has been lived with the progressive left. The progressives trying to steadily eat away and steadily control things, and now they've seized power, and this becomes, our battle. I wish we had the George Washingtons and all of that, but, unfortunately they got folks like us, like me. So, holy cats. I'm praying. So in any case, this is our time. The fundamental threshold issue is Obama's lack of eligibility. Look at everything else that's going on that we've been trying to struggle and deal with. The fundamental issue is eligibility. Don't let a Republican get up there and start yelling about liberal tax and spend policies. Get up there and yell about Obama's eligibility. All of this stuff that we are fighting would go away if we could deal with that issue. And he's running as fast as he can to do as much damage as he can before we get organized. So it's time to. I like to say when people get tired of holding up a sign and marching at the tea parties, which I absolutely support. I go to every tea party I possibly can. I support all of it. But when they get tired of that, what do you have there? I like to say that the work of the Continental Congress produced the Articles of Freedom. There are plans right there. There are civic actions that we can take. Arizona and a number of other states have already acted on the same recommendations that the Articles of Freedom came out with. Not that they use the Articles of Freedom, but it just tells you everyone's thinking the same way. More state control. 10th Amendment. Arizona, for example, not only moved on immigration, but is the first state to have the eligibility requirement for the state ballot. Gee, two whammies. Got after illegal immigration, which Obama isn't probably an illegal immigrant, and also his certification, his eligibility. Boy, two things. No wonder he was so mad and he had to really pull the race card and be kind of a jerk about Arizona, kind of laugh about it, say, oh, we all know what happens in Arizona when, the cops pull you over. It's like, adios, amigo. What a jerk. Boy, do we have a lot ahead of us. So we are right now, and this is part of what Revolution Radio is, we are right now exactly where we are supposed to be. Think about your life and everything you've experienced, which has never been related to liberty. And now here you are, you're listening to this show late at night, or early in the morning, or whatever you listen to, or you're blogging, or you're reading, or you're observing more. We are here right at the right time. I choose to share everything I know, I guess, because I've got to release the stress somehow, and I know we have to collaborate and coordinate, so trying to do my share. I'm going to go away and find another short article for you, and in the meantime, take you back a little bit. Be right back.
son of a woman and a man who lived in strife. He was tired, the infowar. He was an empty cellar, door to door. And he worked like the devil to be more. Different kind of poverty, how upsets the soul. Night after sleepless night, walk the floor and I want to know. Why am I so alone? Where is my woman? Can I bring her home? Have I driven you away? Is she gone? Morning comes the sunrise and I'm driven to my bed. I see that it is empty and there's devils in my head. I give praise. Then a colored bee. I grow weary of the torment. Can there be no peace? And I catch myself just wishing that my life would change to see.
There we are. My apologies. My computer froze up a little bit and was trying to play another song. Still trying to find the article I want to read for you. So I will try this again and be right back.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life you're only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life you're only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of a dark black night.
blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of the dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Won't you take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life? You were only waiting for this moment to be free. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Thank you.
Take five. Don't forget to do that. Remember, I said earlier that Arizona's actions on immigration and eligibility really got at Obama pretty well because of the two aspects of immigration. Number one, his illegal status, and number two, because of the eligibility. But on the immigration, the other piece of this that he has to fight back against is he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. So his normal charge is to pull out the race card. So I'm going to read you an article by Patrick O'Hannigan on the American Spectator. The Governor, the President, and the Race Card. Perfect title. Governor Jan Brewer of Arizona has people talking about racism. An imaginary conversation that I've had with one progressive friend inevitably starts with racism. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. Arizona Senate Bill 1070, set to take effect July 29th, genuinely scares this man. I'm in Phoenix on business, will I be handcuffed and thrown in jail without any recourse for 6 months because I am dark-skinned, he asked, before concluding that this was a very distinct possibility. That's foolishness. Distinct is not the adjective wanted here, because the possibility of my friends being arrested for, quote, walking while brown, unquote, in Phoenix is more theoretical than distinct. He is, after all, a law-abiding citizen. Moreover, the bill in question explicitly forbids racial profiling, choosing instead to place emphasis where it should be, on criminal profiling. But paranoia strikes deep, and Governor Brewer continues to show either political courage or obliviousness to, quote, white privilege, depending on your point of view. On May 11th, she signed a bill targeting an ethnic studies program that preaches ethnic solidarity and promotes racial strife. The governor had no intention of carpet bombing all ethnic studies programs, but every intention of firing a shot across the bow of a school district in Tucson that has carried more water for ideologues than Gunga Din never hauled across the Khyber Pass. Brewer apparently signed the bill because she disagrees with the incendiary progressive definitions of empowerment. The governor believes that public school students should be taught to treat and value each other as individuals, her spokesman explained, rather than being, quote, taught to resent or hate other races or classes of people. Do you see how that is like... Excuse me, I'm interrupting this article. Just an absolute microcosm of where we are right now and what they're trying to do. Eliminate individualism and blame individualism and capitalism, mix all those things up together as being the problems for everything. And instead, you know, move to initiate racial war or ethnic war or clashes between races in our country. So, you know, what the black people who blindly supported Obama don't know is that he's getting ready to throw them under the bus, you know, with amnesty for illegal aliens. And there go the jobs. So, rather than being taught to resent or hate classes, back to the article, sorry, that reasoning makes sense to me and presumably also to my uncle and my late grandfather, whom I like to think plays Pinocchio in heaven. No, Pinocchio, Pinocchio, whatever, in heaven, sorry. Anyway, let me go back to this. The governor believes that the public students should be taught to treat and value each other as individuals, her spokesman explained, rather than being taught to resent or hate other races or classes of people. Unfortunately, more than a few progressives are learning to fear whatever the president decides to smirk about, as smirking seems to be Barack Obama's. His monologue at the White House Correspondents' Dinner had at least one fellow Democrat describing the president's humor as a, quote, work in progress, unquote. Not content to threaten a popular tween singing group with a missile strike from a Predator drone, the president also offered a zinger for Governor Brewer. Well, we all know what happens in Arizona when you don't have ID, he said in a sonorous schoolmarm tone. Adios, amigos. Yeah, laugh, riot, that guy. Too bad he did not read the 16-page text of the state legislation he was trying to lampoon. And would it be churlish to observe that President Obama did not peruse the 2,600-page health care reform bill that he supported either? Somebody in the White House must work hard at writing hermetically sealed legislative summaries in terms that appeal exclusively to Huffington Post columnists. The people who actually read Arizona's controversial legislation tend to be more sanguine about it than those who don't or won't, as witness the elegant and sensible Gabriela Salcedo, whose impassioned defense of Senate Bill 1070 during the public comment section of a city council meeting in Tucson became a YouTube sensation for all the right reasons. The problem that progressives have is that they are all alone at the end of the evening when the bright lights have faded to blue. Their standard bearer isn't the leading man they thought he was going to be. Sure, Barack Obama can tilt a fedora rakishly over one eye or for a dinner theater production of Guys and Dolls, but when somebody like Governor Brewer starts stealing their scenes together, he crumbles or glares. Whether the president's limited range is a product of upbringing or ideology would be hard to say, but it means that even B-list politicians eat his lunch. They and we deserve better. The point is made vividly clear in cinematic terms. Think of Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn goading each other to greatness in The African Queen. Closer to our time, Michael Mann's 1999 movie about what it took to blow the whistle on Big Tobacco provides another sterling example of teamwork in acting. There were big names, Crowe, Pacino, Plummer, in The Insider, but the most memorable scene in a movie full of them may have been Bruce McGill's turn as a lawyer, Ron Motley, at the moment when Motley refuses to let his star witness be bullied into silence by opposing counsel. This then goes into a story about the lawyers. You may remember that a corporate lawyer threatens a former tobacco executive during a deposition in this movie. Dr. Wingand, I'm instructing you not to answer that question in accordance to the terms of the contractual obligations undertaken by you, not to disclose any information about your work at the Brown & Williamson Tobacco Company. That means you don't talk. Up until that point, all we have heard is a mailed fist of coercion wrapped in the velvet glove of legal jargon. But the same lawyer then makes the mistake of saying, Mr. Motley, we have rights here. And it's all the opening Motley needs to administer a whipping for the ages. You got rights and lefts, ups and downs and middles. So what? You don't get to instruct anything around here. This is not North Carolina, nor South Carolina, nor Kentucky. This is the sovereign state of Mississippi's proceedings. Wipe that smirk off your face. Dr. Wigland's deposition will be part of this record. And I'm going to take my witness testimony whether the hell you like it or not. Note, please, that there is nothing pedantic in that script. Characters spar with each other rather than with straw men. And while there is bad faith enough to go around, nobody imputes racism, blows smoke by saying, let me be clear, or sugarcoats his own rage by suggesting from behind the presidential seal that arguments other than his own don't always rank all that high on the truth meter. There are lessons there for politicians who want to learn them, and they're part of a class that Jan Brewer has already passed. Obama is failing miserably. That's what we want, but how long can we have him in there? I think when we go to Washington in September again, in this year, September 12th, I think that, you know, a million of us ought to stay and not leave and block the halls. You know, just not leave. It will be time. We should do a rotation. You know, 5,000 people camp out there the whole time. Do a rotation. Somebody else comes in. Quietly move there. We have to show up. Can you imagine? Would it be possible for us to just go there and block that whole city down until they resign or investigate or Obama resigns? Could they really all get out of there with helicopters? Would they pull the army on us? What do you think? Be right back.
Imagine there's no heaven. Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Welcome and thank you for coming to Revolution Radio this evening, Saturday night special. I want to wish a good week and day tomorrow. Safety, peace, truth, light, enlightenment. I want to, God bless our soldiers. God bless America. And I like to really ask God to help America, to help us, and to come back to us. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, when you fly, don't fly too close to the sun. Keep safe. Good night, all.